We always love Tuesdays when we welcome bookstores from our family of independents who dispense terrific advice on books to pick up and enjoy, which is why we call it the Book Pick segment. This morning, the folks from the Chatham Bookstore join us to present a line of fine books for these springish days, which are very, very nice that we are enjoying. We welcome Diane Ortman and Carrie Knutson back to the roundtable. Good morning. So nice to have both of you here.
Thanks, Joe.
All right. So where would you like to begin?
I'm going to begin. All right, I'm going to start with a collection of poems called Bright Sith. It's by the Swedish poet Thomas Tranströmer. And he won the Nobel Prize in 2011 for his work. And it's translated from Swedish by Patty Crane. His work has been called Startling Metaphors Using Sharp Imagery and Deceptively Simple Diction. And for someone like me, simple is the key word there, because I can definitely be intimidated by poetry, but his work is so accessible, and it's really stunning. I'm just going to give you a small example. The book is written side by side with Swedish, and this poem is called From March of 79. It says, "Tired of all who come with words, words but no language, I headed for the snow-covered island. The wild has no words. Unwritten pages spread out in every direction. I come upon tracks of roe deer in the snow. Language but no words."
Beautiful.
I think it's very beautiful.
Very beautiful.
So, Patty Crane, who translated this is, you know, in and of itself, it's an interesting story. She is local, and she's coming to our store on Saturday, which we're so excited about. But the thing that's so interesting is she actually lived in Sweden for 3 years, and she worked side by side with Thomas Tranströmer and his wife doing this translation. And I think that gave her the ability to really just look at it differently, and have a real insight into what the translation should be. And for example, there was a poem formerly translated as National Insecurity, and in her translation, it's called Insecurity's Kingdom. So I think that we're so excited. I know we're so excited to have her come and talk about how she ended up in Sweden and how she kind of accidentally met the Tranströmers and ended up working with them for close to 3 years before he passed last year. So that's the first book.
And it's selected poems of Thomas Tranströmer, and she'll be visiting Saturday at the bookstore, and we'll give you more information on how you can find out the where's and when's.
Yes.
At the end of the segment. Next.
Next, I brought When Breath Becomes Air. It's a memoir written by Paul Kalanithi, who died earlier. No, actually, it was last year,
yes.
I guess, that he died.
Yes.
And it's his memoir. He was a young neurosurgical resident who was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer at the end of his residency. And he was absolutely brilliant. And he had 2 BAs and an MA in literature from Stanford. He was a master of philosophy from Cambridge. And he graduated cum laude from Yale School of Medicine. And he loved the written word, and he was driven by trying to find what the meaning of life is and living a meaningful life. And that brought him to neurosurgery, where he should have gone on to have a brilliant career, which was tragically cut short. But, you know, thankfully for us, in the last year of his life, he decided to go back to writing, which was his original love, and just share with us his thoughts on how to live and die well, and I know that you had his wife on. You interviewed Lucy Kalanithi, who also, she wrote an afterword, and she's equally as gifted in writing. It's really just a beautiful book, and I think everybody can get something out of it.
It is When Breath Becomes Air by Paul Kalanithi, and it is published by Random House.
Okay, my next book is a work of fiction. It's called Spill, Simmer, Falter, Wither. And it's written by Sarah Baum. It's her first novel. It's the story of a 57-year-old recluse in a small coastal village in Ireland. And he tells his story by writing in the second person to a real down-and-out dog that he adopted from a shelter. He saw a picture of it in a window, and he decided to rescue the dog from a shelter. And their stories are very similar, kind of down-and-out, abused by society. And she has very beautiful language. She's a young woman. Like I said, this is her first book, and it's quite impressive that she was able to write this book so young, her first book, and it's very beautiful. They were, you know, he was a recluse, and they kind of become noticed by the villagers as mm-hmm. certain incidents happen with the dog, and there's a chain of events that happens because of all of a sudden people noticing them and not really being afraid of their otherness. And the title, Spill, Simmer, Falter, Wither, is a reflection of the seasons that the book takes the course of, spring, summer, fall, and winter. And it's very atmospheric, and it's very beautiful, and it's one of those books that just stays with you even when you're done with it.
And it's Salt of the Sea.
That's my next book.
And then this book was...
This is Spill, Simmer, Falter, Wither.
The Sarah Baum book.
Yes.
Which was, I have read, and she will be on with us next... What is today? Today is
the 8th.
So she will be on appropriately enough, the 17th.
Oh, great, because she's Irish.
Yes.
Right.
So looking forward to it. The book is released.
Wow.
Comes out today. So, yes.
So she's coming across the pond
to
be with you, Joe?
Yes.
That's nice. Okay. I'll be sure to listen to that. So the next book I'm doing is Salt to the Sea by Ruta Septis. And this is a young adult book. And it is about four lives of young adults. And it takes place in 1945, I believe. And they come from four different nationalities. There's a Lithuanian girl, a Polish girl, an East Prussian boy, and a German boy. And they are all en route to the Wilhelm Gustloff ship, which is transporting refugees out of East Prussia as the Soviet Union approaches. And what I like about her stories, Ruta Septis stories. This is her third book, her second one about this time period and about Lithuania, is that she captures the stories of people that you don't often think about during that time in the war, people that are kind of caught in between the Germans and the Soviet Union. They were first, you know, had to deal with the German occupation, but then, you know, they were considered German accomplices by the approaching Soviets, and it was an absolutely terrifying time for these people. And the Wilhelm Gustloff is a real ship that was transporting these refugees, evacuating them, and it was the it had the largest loss of life in a single ship sinking in history. About 9,400 people died when it went down. So it's historical fiction. I love historical fiction. I especially love it for young adults. Mm-hmm. If it's done well, it's a great way to teach them about the time period and to engage them in, you know, conversations about you know, civilization and how people act. And she really, really does everyone a great service by telling these stories. So I recommend it for, you know, any young adult that has an interest in history.
Salt of the Sea is the name of the new book. Next.
I think Carrie's going to...
Carrie, you're on.
I'm gonna take over there. Thanks, Diane. So I've been thinking a lot lately about how the world can be a scary place for parents, but it can also be this amazingly beautiful place. And as a parent, I have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old, and part of my work is in showing my children this world and all its awe and intricacies. I find it's like a delicate walk. How do I introduce the world to them, but reveal the complexities in an age-appropriate way? And I think that's probably why this book that I'm going to talk about today, Little One by Joe Weaver, really spoke to me so much. It's a picture book about a mother and baby bear leaving their cave for the first time. And there are these stark charcoal illustrations that are just phenomenal. They take up the full page. And my favorite one is probably this one where the mother bear is looking up at these sky laden with smoky outlines of a flock of geese. And it says, the text, you know, she knew that winter was coming. And I think this really just speaks to this idea of us as parents showing our kids to the world as this mother bear does for the baby from spring through to winter, and just guiding them and saying, I'll be here, I'm with you, little one, which I think echoes the feeling that I feel a lot in being a calm, guiding presence to our children, knowing full well that there are some challenges ahead, but teaching the kids courage and resilience and appreciation of the beauty and the surroundings. The author illustrator, it's her first one. She's out of England. And I don't know if she's a parent yet, but I think this text is really successful in that it appeals to both parents and children. And so it will create those moments where kids and parents can read together, which is so important for both and their relationship. So that's Little One by Joe Weaver.
Little One by Joe Weaver. And is one more, or is that it?
I have another one that I didn't bring with me, but I just wanted to talk a little bit about. It's called The Race to Save the Lord God Bird, and it's by Philip Hoos. It was originally published in 2004, but was just revised and updated last month. And it's a book mostly aimed at middle grades, but it's just as easily enjoyed by adults or diffused for younger children. And it chronicles the assumed extinction and recorded return of the ivory-billed woodpecker. But it's really more a story about, more broadly about our human relationship with nature and about the changes in this relationship over the last 200 years. It touches on topics ranging from the formation of the Audubon Society and its campaign towards raising children to be naturalists, and also the political relationship between Cuba and the U.S. and how that affected the searching and looking for this bird when it was spotted in Cuba. And so while it's really a story about a race to save this majestic bird and about challenging extinction for a variety of species, it encapsulates so much more. So I think it'd be a great book to use in your classroom or at home to really look at that topic and how we think about ourselves in the next 100 years of history and our relationship with nature and caretaking for the people and the animals on our planet.
Good stuff. And the Chatham Bookstore is in Chatham, New York. You can visit them at 27 Main Street in Chatham. You can also find their list at chathambookstore.com, chathambookstore.com. And the event is coming up on Saturday with Patty Crane. And that is at 7 o'clock?
5 to 7.
5 to 7.
Yes.
5 to 7 on Saturday at the Chatham Bookstore. And go to chathambookstore.com. Diane Ortman and Carrie Knutson, thank you so much for being with us this morning. A great pleasure to have you both on the program.
Thank you.
Coming up next, Writer's Almanac with Garrison Keillor. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.